thinking back to what Sister Donna said there about the message this morning, and you know, a lot of people, I think, overlook the fact that Jesus felt, not only took on every sin of humanity, but He had every thought, every emotion, every feeling that humanity could ever go through. And yes, He suffered depression. If you've got your Bibles tonight, I'm going to be in the book of James, chapter number 1. James chapter 1, in verse number 12. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. James 1 and 12. I'll give you just a minute to find your place. James 1 and 12. When you found it, say amen. Some of you are looking on the board and cheating. He said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. And let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man." I think about the psalmist, and he wrote in Psalms chapter 139 and verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." That is not a real popular scripture to read. And what I'm preaching about tonight is test me. When we are tested, you know, there's two. I'm preaching from verse number 12. I just gave you verse 13 just for a bonus. But there's two words that really stand out to me in verse number 12. The first one is temptation. There is, temptation will always be a temptation of sin, and it'll always be from the devil. Temptation will never be from God, but it will come from the devil. Matter of fact, he tells us that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. If you are tempted, it'll be one of those three things that you're tempted through. God is not interested in you failing. God wants to see you succeed. But the second word that comes to mind in reading this scripture that stands out, he said, "For when he is tried." Now, trying comes from the Lord. It's not that he wants to find out what you're made out of. God already knows what you're capable of. But God will try you so that you know what you're capable of. He wants you to know what your potential is. Sometimes when we go through a trial, we think that it's of the devil. It's not of the devil. God is showing you what you're really made of. He's trying to pray. God already knows what you're going to do. But He wants you to find out what you're going to do. He wants you to know that you can depend upon Him. There is a lesson to be learned when God tries us. The word "tried" here, I got interested in this, actually, some time back. I just happened to bring it with me tonight. I picked it up yesterday. It's a silver coin. And if there's any coin collectors in the house tonight, I'll be happy to show it to you. But it is a a Liberty silver dollar that is dated 1800. The best I could tell, if this is authentic, is that it's worth probably somewhere between $10,000 to $15,000. I said you could look at it, but you can't keep it. I took this coin to a coin dealer. Matter of fact, they just had a coin show at the American Legions this weekend in Claremont. I went back up there and picked it back up. I said, I'd kind of like to have that back. The coin dealer looked at it. He's had it now for probably 3-4 months. And he said, it's a fake. That really didn't hurt my feelings. He said, I have put a magnet to it, and a magnet won't stick to it. He said, I have weighed it, and a Liberty 1800 silver dollar is supposed to weigh so many grams, and this, he said, and it just don't have enough wear on it for it to be authentic. Well, one of the reasons that that really didn't bother me is that if it's counterfeit, it could be worth over $100,000. This passage that we read here tonight, for when he is tried, the Greek word for that is dokimos. D-O-K-I-M-O-S. You see, there was a group of people that didn't have the banking system that we have today. Whenever they had money to come in, the money, the coins that was circulating during the time of Athens, during this time that whenever they were circulating coins, they would take precious metals that was soft in material. They would melt them down and they would pour them into molds. And they would mold those coins. And the counterfeiters would take those coins and they would take and shave off some of the excess around the outer edges to where they wouldn't be as large in diameter. They would thin them down somewhat to make them less weight and less fine. They would take the extra material that they had, and then they would take and pour a lesser material, and then they would coat it with the valuable, the real stuff. But the dokimos, they would take, and if it went through them, they authenticated everything that was real. That was their job, was to make sure that they passed on not counterfeit money, but real money. He said, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. You know, the book of Malachi, he tells us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, and when they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God sees what we don't see. You may fool God. You may pretend to be a Christian. You may have all the outward adornances, and you may look like it. You may act the part. But I'll tell you what, there are going to be some fakes. Well, I knew this would be lonely tonight. You know, about 40 years ago, I was working down here at Parks' Grocery. I was earning $3.05 an hour. Making good money. And that little sweet thing caught my attention. I I grew up in a strict Pentecostal holiness church. My mom and dad did not believe in wearing jewelry. That's their personal convictions. I hope you don't fall out with me on that. That's the way I was raised. Some of y'all have been there. I knew absolutely nothing about jewelry. But I knew I loved that young girl sitting on the front seat. I went down to Eastland Mall. Some of y'all remember where that was at. I knew how much money I had in my pocket. And I knew I wanted to get her a ring. I picked out the one that I liked. It was a beautiful, I thought it was a beautiful diamond ring. I liked it. And I thought to myself, this is the one. The problem is, I didn't have enough money to buy it. I looked around at some of the other jewelry stores. Mom was with me. Dad probably would have disowned her if he would have known she had taken me. But Mom knew that I needed to get her a ring. Brother Isaac, I went back to that jewelry store that I found that ring that was just the perfect ring that I knew that she would look at it and she would be awestruck and she would say yes. And I began to haggle with that jeweler. I laid my dollars, that it was a few dollars I had. I think it was a little over $300 that I had. I laid it up on the counter and I said, this is every last dollar that I have. I said, I want that ring. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they felt sorry for me or what, but I walked out of there that day with that ring. I opened the box, presented the ring, and asked her if she'd marry me. I told you all that to tell you this. To this day, I took the jeweler's word, and I still don't know if that diamond was real. They said it was. But she still told me yes. And Sister Janie, I began to think about you when I was preparing this sermon because Janie says it doesn't matter if it's real or not. It looks the same. But you know, I got intrigued about, you know, there are some tests that you can run on diamonds to find out if they're real or not. You may be able to fool your wife. I may have been able to fool my wife, and she's going to have to go home now and find out if it's real or not. But some of the same tests that you can find on a diamond will tell you if it'll apply to a Christian if they're real. First off, I found out in my studies that a diamond has a hardness of 10. One of the hardest materials known to man. Glass is a hardness of 5.5. Most of y'all probably know this, but you can take a diamond and you can scratch glass. It will leave an impression. Whew. A real Christian will leave an impression upon the world. We should be different. There should be something that stands out in us. When we come in contact with sin, when we come in contact and rub elbows and shoulders with the world, we ought to leave an impression upon them that they say, there goes a child of God. He tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17 in verse number 1, he said, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the tables of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Ye are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. There should be something that is inside of us when we become saved and a Christian that is something that is hard enough that it will make an impression upon the world. But they should be able to look at you and say, there goes a Christian. Some cubic zirconiums have a hardness of 8. It's still fake. They'll make an impression, but it won't be as deep. Still make an impression, but it won't be as deep. So we have the scratch test, but there's also the breath test. Some of you ladies that got your diamond rings, you can take that diamond ring, and I'm going to have a disclaimer right here. If it doesn't pass the test, don't blame it on the preacher. Man, you're the one that bought it. Jared, where are you going? But you can take that diamond ring and put it up to your mouth and breathe on it. You see, a diamond will not retain heat. If the fog immediately goes away, it's real. But if it stays in a fog, it's a fake diamond. You know, that's the way the Christians are. If they live their life in a fog and they don't know which direction or what they're doing or know where they're going, that they're not a real Christian. If they don't have clear direction from God, beware, they're not passing the test. Is that scripture? Every believer should have the Holy Spirit indwelling in him. He is the one that will teach us in all things. You remember Jesus, whenever he was talking to the disciples there in John chapter 20 and verse 22. And he said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Situations may come up and you may have your mind in a fog and wonder what's going on, but the fog will clear almost immediately if you'll pass the test. Why? Because the Spirit will give you direction. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We are made overcomers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. There's something that is greater that rises up at a Christian that says, this is not my fight, said little David, but it's thine. The water test. You know that a real diamond will always sink to the bottom. If your stone gets loose and you want to find out if it's real or not, take a glass of water. Drop it in a glass of water and a diamond will always sink. A cubic zirconium, they tell me, will either float or it will partially float. Well, what's that symbolic of? Water is always symbolic of the Word. There's two things that the water is symbolic of in the Bible. One of them is the Word, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Number two, it is symbolic of the Spirit. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, he said, in the last day, the day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spake this of the Spirit, which they had, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given yet, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. If you have the real thing, you'll want to go deeper and deeper into the Word. If you have the real thing, you'll want to get more and more of the Spirit of God in you. A fake Christian that will not pass the test is not interested in reading their Bible. They're not interested in Holy Ghost services. They're not interested when the Spirit of God moves at a service and just fills the building. It makes them uncomfortable. There is a transparency test. You can take a diamond and tear off a newspaper, a little piece of a newspaper or some fine print, and hold it up to a diamond. And if the diamond is real, you cannot read the paper, the fine print through the diamond. A cubic zirconium, you can read through it. Why? Because a real diamond reflects the light. And since it reflects light, it distorts what is on the other side. If it don't, it's a fake. There's some things that you can see right through. There's some people that you can see right through them. Some think that they are fooling everybody. They're open and naked before God's eyes. He sees and knows what you're made out of. He proved that to Joshua with Achan. You remember the story? Whenever they conquered Jericho and Achan took some of the spoils, some of the first fruits that God had set aside for the temple. They went up against a little city by the name of Ai that they should have destroyed and conquered easily. But they was utterly defeated. Joshua went and he searched for the sin in the camp. God had to reveal it to him. Achan thought he had it hid. Let me tell you, you can't hide anything from God. When the world sees a true diamond, a true Christian, they shouldn't be able to see through you and see what's on the other side of you. They should see Christ in you, because the light that shines through you. Not only do we find the transparency test, I'm not through with this test yet. Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? The early church was just getting established. They had sold their possessions and they was giving it to the church, and because of the recognition and everything that was going on, that they wanted all the praise and the glory of men. And so they said, We have given everything that we sold, and we've taken the money, and we're giving it all to the church. Peter stood up and said, you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. They withheld part of it back. Before darkness fell, they buried both of them. Search me, Lord. Sister Tanya, I hope you don't think it's the wrong way, and I love you singing that song, and don't quit. But we get up here, we say, I surrender all. I surrender all as long as the fish aren't biting. As long as the kids don't have a ball game, I surrender all. As a, you know, maybe every other weekend, you know, where I'm not at the lake. I'll tell you what, it's a good thing God still don't strike people dead for lying to the Holy Ghost. We couldn't get in this place for the caskets. We say, I surrender all, but do we really? We want revival, but do we really? We want the Spirit of God moving, but do we really? We schedule revival. You know what? They just scheduled at the wrong time. I've got plans. I'm preaching to you about the test. You don't have to fool me. You have to fool Him, and He knows everything. We say we have compassion, but do we? The next thing that I come across is the light test. If you put a real diamond under a UV light, the diamond will glow blue. Blue is symbolic of heaven all throughout the Old Testament. When the light shines on you, does the world see you or do they see heaven? What do they see? Blue is a picture of heaven. Have you ever seen someone that just seemed like that they just had that glow about them that they just looked like they had been in. They just look like heaven. You remember whenever Peter and John, after the day of Pentecost, that they had been called in before Caiaphas and the rulers there, they was being questioned, the accounts in Acts chapter number 4, verse 13. He said, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There was something about them that glowed, that they, a true Christian will have a shine about them that just, they shine differently than others. Not only do we see the light test, but also there is a heat test. And if any of y'all go home and try this tonight and it doesn't turn out, please don't blame me. But they say you can take a diamond ring and hold it over a candle or a lighter, get it hot, and drop it in a glass of ice water. If it's real, it will not shatter. If it's fake, well, I think you can figure that out. Lord, try me. And we wonder why all the fiery darts of hell come against us. And then it seems like when all the fiery darts of hell are coming against us, it seems like we get dropped in a bucket of ice water. And we wonder what happened. You know, I've been around camp meetings, Brother Jared, and I know you have too. Your dad is an evangelist. You've been around camp meetings and revivals and brush harbors and various things, and it seems like when the Spirit of God is moving, every preacher in the house wants to preach. They get up and testify. And they give you about 4 or 5 verses in about 30, 45 minutes after they get through testifying, you feel like you've just been preached to, and they finally sit down, and the next one gets up and testifies for 30 to 45 minutes, quoting 3 or 4 scriptures. I've been there too, Brother Virgil. Whenever it's hot, everybody wants to sing. Whenever the Spirit of God is moving, everybody wants to lift their hands and worship the Lord. But whenever you get in those church services, that it's like somebody poured out a bucket of ice water. Amen. Stay with me. Wildfires, quit burning. The real diamond is still a diamond. He's a diamond whether it's hot or whether it's cold. A fake diamond. They'll do okay as long as the heat's on. But whenever it gets a little bit dry, whenever it gets a little bit cold, whenever the struggles come around, you know, I've seen Christians, they come to church, they're on fire for God, and 6 months later, they're out of church, and a year later, they're back in, and they're on fire, and then 2 months later, they're back out, and then they're back in, and they're back on, and it makes my head spin. They're a fake. They're a fake. A real diamond. I'm not far off. He told us that we're jewels. A real diamond does not care. I should not say that. It does not matter whether it be a shouting service or whether it be a cold dead service. God's still God. God's still grateful. Can I give you just a couple more? The conductivity test. You know you can take a real diamond and take a, some of y'all know what a DVOM is, digital voltometer. You can take a digital voltometer and put your test leads on either side of the diamond, and a diamond will conduct electricity. It is a conductor. Not a good conductor, but it will conduct electricity. A fake, the electricity will stop and will not pass through the diamond. There are some that if they was hit with 220 volts from heaven, it stopped right there. They're a fake. If the Spirit of God moves from with you with power from on high, He's moving in you, through you, for someone else, for you to pass it on. You are the conductor, that the vessel that He has chose to use. But a fake Christian, it'll stop with them. The last one, and I'll close with this. It's called the loop test. You've seen some of the jewelers take their little magnifying glass, the little round loop that they had, that's what that is. That's called a loop test. When diamonds are formed, the carbons that are formed there in the process of, when they're pressurized, a real diamond will have what is called an inclusion. Most all diamonds will have an inclusion. That is an impurity. If there's no faults in the diamond, it's a fake. When he holds that up to the magnifying glass, that's what he is looking for, is an inclusion. If you're one that says that faults in others I always see, praise the Lord, faults there is none in me, you're a fake. I'm not perfect. When I got saved, I got redeemed and set free of all of my sins, but I am still in this body, in this flesh, and this flesh has not been redeemed yet. I still have faults and I have failures. I have diabetes. This body it aches and it hurts, and I have pains and ailments, and this body has not been transformed yet. First Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10. He said, but when that which is perfect is come. I've got a new body that is coming. If you're living your life and you're perfect and you can do no wrong and you've got it all figured out, I'm here to tell you, you are a fake. But I told you that to also tell you this. If you see me for who I am, I pray that you overlook me, because I'm not perfect. I'm striving. But a real true diamond will always realize that there is room for improvement. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I can get closer. I can draw near. I can do better about reading the Word. I can do better about seeking the Spirit of God to lead me and guide me and direct me. A true diamond, there will always be room for improvement. Until we make it, and I haven't arrived yet. I haven't made it. A true Christian will always fight their battles on their knees and seek the Lord. Some of the greatest heroes that we find in Scripture, they admitted their faults. David. Solomon. I could go on and on with the heroes of the Old Testament. Every one of them had room for improvement. Sometimes I think that we get to the point that we think that there's no room. I'm as close to God as I can get. I'm doing everything I need to do. But let me remind you, every diamond has a fault. And we can work on it.